scripture we turn to, Psalm 8, and we're going to make sure it's up on the screen for you as well. Psalm 8, we were singing it before. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, right in the middle, also most of it on page 67 of your hymnal, but let me read Psalm 8, David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. There's more to Psalm 8, but that's a good start, and maybe it helps you see too why we read it on Mother's Day, as well as a day when we're thinking about what it means that Jesus is ascended on high. How majestic is his name in all the earth. What does that have to do with you and with babies? Psalm 8, this is God's word. Grace and peace to you then from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me, would you? Amen. Psalm 8 makes me think of hoop skirts and bonnets, if I may. You might say, what? Because you didn't see any ladies this morning with hoop skirts, did you? Or bonnets. That's old-fashioned. You looked around, perhaps, as you walked in, and you saw no gentleman wearing a chain attached to something down here, and then in his little vest pocket, a small round watch. No one was wearing a pocket watch this morning, of course. That's old-fashioned. I don't know if there's any gentleman wearing a pocket square either. I didn't look too closely, but pocket squares have a different problem than pocket watches. Pocket squares are just a little bit too fancy for most of the guys in the room, and that's okay, isn't it? But it points out the problem of telling you, hey, let's talk about a poem. Let's talk about a 3,000-year-old poem. Isn't poetry a little too fancy to get anything practically out of? And isn't a 3,000-year-old poem way too old for us to really get anything from? It's from the other side of the world. It was written in Hebrew. Come on, Pastor. You would be excused if that was your first thought about Psalm 8. And yet, let me read again, Psalm 8, David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, David writes, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. I think David was first talking about himself. In general, what he was talking about is, what if utter majesty and eternity really were reality? I think David was first singing this one at night. I don't know for a fact. But it would fit because he mentions the moon and he doesn't mention the sun. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of? David is feeling awfully small. Who am I, David is saying. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You made him ruler? So that would fit David personally, wouldn't it? Did David sing this one? I don't know. Did David sing this one right after, as the youngest guy in the family, as the one out caring for the sheep, as the one that his dad said, why would we even call him in? As the one that Samuel had anointed to be king over God's people, even when there was another king already, a really tall, good-looking, strong leader type of guy named Saul, and yet young, short David, was he 16? Was he 17? This was before Goliath, certainly. Was that when he sang out in the sheep pasture, out at night, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth? Was it a little after that when he first got married? I don't know, because he mentions babies, or one of his brothers, he had all sorts of older brothers, had one of them just, with his wife, had a new baby. David is thinking about babies in this psalm too. From the lips of children and infants, from nursing ones, not necessarily therefore infants. You know, in David's culture, they nursed up to age 3 or so. But still, little people. David's thinking about them, and it's making him think about the majesty of the promise God has made to him. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Why does David talk like he's Adam in the garden? You made me ruler over everything. The birds, the fish. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I'm going to guess again that David has just been hit by the enormity of it all. I'm going to be king. He knows God's promise. The scepter will not depart from Judah. And he's from the tribe of Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between Judah's feet until he comes to whom it belongs. There is going to be a great king to come someday, and David doesn't know nearly as much as you do about King Jesus reigning over everything. But it's hitting David. What if the majesty promised to me were only a foretaste of all the majesty ever to come? What if majesty and eternity were reality? Then we would start with David as a young man out with his sheep, wouldn't we? David, who's singing about more than himself, he's thinking about Adam, it's fair to guess. He's thinking poetically about what it's going to be when he becomes king later. Or did he write this when he was first king? It's possible too. We don't want to be too dogmatic. He sings it, we read in the heading at the beginning, for the music director. So ultimately this gets used in church. We're going to sing our own version again at the end. Even before that, we're going to hear a choir sing it for a few minutes. Partly because you got to get the beauty of the poetry. David out in the fields, looking up at the stars, thinking about babies, knowing that God makes every little baby, another reason we're reading this on Mother's Day. From your mother's arms, God has blessed you on your way with countless gifts of love. And he's still yours today. There's the enormity of that thought. God made me. God hands-on made me. And God hands-on made the universe. It's the work of his fingers, the psalm says. This is an actual photo of the Negev, the southern part of Israel, and the night sky. David could have seen a couple thousand stars if it was a really clear night, as it often is, in the dry part of southern Israel. But it's interesting, David doesn't just think about that. You have set your glory above the heavens, he says. Greater you are than any glory. But he's thinking about little Jewish babies, isn't he? There are some pretty little people in God's house this morning. We love it that way. Keep it up that way, God, please. That's what we pray. Why? Because of God's majesty and the irony of how God gets praised. Psalm 8, you have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have founded praise. That's a foundation? Little babies, they're about as squirmy and as unstable as can be. No, David says, you have established, you have founded praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. David is not thinking pie in the sky when he's thinking about the stars and everything. He knows there's bad enemies. There's not just one, the foe he mentions and the avenger. But little babies, tiny people who can't even vocalize words that make sense to us, can sing God's praise. Jesus said it on Palm Sunday, didn't he? Some of you moms, grandmas, this is the dearest thing you can ever recall, isn't it? How God made somebody little inside of you. And the irony that their praise can silence not just enemies on Palm Sunday, but enemies ever. Look at the faith, look at the love. A tough guy named David, who would later be used by God, I'll guess it was later, to kill a guy named Goliath, maybe this one comes after David, because this is actually according to the Gath, is how the Hebrew heading works. The way they played an instrument in Gath, the way the music worked in Gath, the style of poetry in Gath, we don't know for sure. We just know this. These are the works of God's fingers. This is why we praise God on Mother's Day, because the majesty of that is irony. This is how God makes praise for himself. And then the majesty of that, David again, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what am I out here with the sheep? What am I, even if you make me king over all your people eventually, when Saul dies, who am I? What is a man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You make me lower than the angels, and yet you crown me. You crown, finally we're going to get to all of us here, but you crown me, Jesus. Jesus is going to help us see this for ourselves. David can say it first. You crown me with glory and honor. What I think I'd like to do for you now is take about 6 minutes and play a version of this. And we're either going to get it on the sound system up top. Do we have it up top? Or I've got it down here otherwise. Thank you. may need a little help upstairs to advance to the next slide. Or two. But we had the then, we need the now. We had the history, we need the practicality. We had the what. What's the so what? That still happens among us, doesn't it? Who am I, Lord? Is the reaction of every believer who knows that God made everything. God made me. God made my children. God made the stars. God made Jesus. Jesus himself was a tiny baby inside his mother Mary, and then he nursed, and then he grew up, and he suffered and died for us all, and he rose again, and Thursday night we wanted to be outside to look at the stars, and we didn't quite make it, so we had to bring outside inside this morning. But who am I? This is majesty that we often miss. This is eternity. A little person in my arms? God would have me raised to live with him forever? Jesus reigns at the Father's right and always will, so that we can live and reign with him forever, as sure as he died for us? That's reality? Eternity? God, have mercy on me for ignoring that, for putting what's just right in front of me as the first and most important thing. And he has, again, since his first breath, Jesus was obeying God perfectly for us. He died with real skin, with real blood for our sins, and he lives on high. Who are we then? Psalm 8 gets quoted a number of times in the New Testament because Jesus has done the most marvelous thing. We need modern pictures to see it. This is Bryce Canyon. The streaks are meteors. There's an airplane down on the left. But the Milky Way is what really arrests you, doesn't it? Who am I? Sometimes you've been outside and you've thought about this. You don't think about it enough. And I'm going to beg you to think more about it. It's just really big out there, isn't it? If this coffee cup were the solar system, how big would the Milky Way be? And the answer is the size of North America. It's incredible. It's incredible. Who am I? Not only the irony of praise, the majesty of God's hands-on work among us, but the dignity that God gives us. There's no way to draw it. This is one astronomer's version of not only are we inside the Milky Way, your address is Nicollet, Minnesota, United States, North America, Earth, Solar System, Milky Way, Virgo Group, Supercluster, that's where you are. It's a billion light years across. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the answer is simply, if Jesus Christ is a true man, just like us, perfect in every way, no sin, and has been raised to the Father's right hand. Well, that says something about how God's going to judge you on the last day. That says something about how you judge everything else right now. Who am I? How majestic, God, is your name in all the earth? If I think about it the way I should, the irony of little babies praising, and didn't you like it? We didn't cue that, of course, but when we couldn't get the music going at first, and then it took a while for the choir to get rolling, did you hear the little kids singing? They're still singing. Who am I that I get a part in this? Who am I that I was once that size, and now I'm a bigger person? And God has still given me his Holy Spirit to believe this and to bow down to the man on the throne, the only God, Jesus Christ. The Zen story is of two fish swimming around over here and the other fish is over here. And the one fish says to the other two fish, how's the water over there? And the two fish answer the other fish, they say, what's water? It's all around us all the time. The majesty, the eternity of God. And I miss it. And he wants me to see it forever. He's going to come again. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord,